Today is March 8th, 2023. Current Bitcoin price is $21,754.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
What's going on, Rick?
Oh, another day. How about yourself, Hans?
Oh, about the same. Went back to work today. Took a couple days off this week and did not accomplish well what I wanted to, but that's okay. That's okay. We did see Bitcoin take quite the tumble, huh?
Yeah, a fair bit, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're not horribly down, but we've seen a significant reduction in some of the exuberance that we had going on. We basically were right around the $25,000 mark back on February 21st. And now we're currently sitting at $21,755. And there was a particular reason, and this affected pretty much all markets. I mean, they're all taking it fairly well in stride, but I think you kind of brought this to my attention yesterday when we were talking. Tell us a little bit about what was going on.
Well, basically, Jerome Powell, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, was basically telling Congress that things are not, inflation is still higher than they were wanting. I don't know if they were pointing at the job market being too good, but money was still flowing and they're wanting to tamp it down. I mean, it basically said, it sounds like he basically wants to put us in a recession to slow down inflation.
Yeah. Yeah. I think when we had originally talked, I think back in January, talking about like the interest rate hikes for the remainder of this year, I think we had said, or what I had heard initially on the street was that the Fed had no plans to raise it more than 0.5% or 50 basis points for the remainder of this year. And we saw back in February, I believe it was, that they raised it by 25 basis points. So a quarter of a percent.
Yeah, which is pretty low for recent interest rate hikes, correct? I mean, every month it's been more than that.
Yeah, yeah. We've seen, I think the minimum before that pretty much was a 50 basis point hike. I think we'd seen even like a 75 basis point hike. We had seen a lot of greater hikes, and then that word came out that, you know, they weren't going to go any more than 0.5% higher for the remainder of 2023. And then we saw that 25 basis point hike take place, which kind of fell in line with that, because that was kind of the discussion, was that they'd do that 25 basis points. We'd have kind of either a pause or a rest in March, and maybe depending on how the CPI numbers came out, they may have done another 25 basis points increase at that point. However, we got CPI numbers last month, and they were still slightly lower, but it wasn't the drastic drop that we had seen leading up to that, right?
Right.
Because we had, I think it was 9.1% was the high, and we've been dropping it down, I mean, fairly consistently, but it didn't drop as much as I think everybody was kind of hoping for. And then we had that ridiculous job market report that we discussed a few episodes back.
Yep. So 500,000 new jobs, or 511,000 new jobs.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Yeah. No, 517,000. We were close. 517,000. Cause I think I even said 511. But they're saying that that's slowing down a little bit. We still don't have quite the full summary on it yet, but right now they're forecasting 200,000 jobs for the month of February, mm-hmm. which, I mean, is significantly less. And again, I'd be curious to see where those jobs are actually located, like what industries are they within. But we'll have to kind of wait and see. So now Jerome Powell was on the Hill giving a speech, right, to Congress?
Right.
Yeah, and that's where it goes, where you were talking about how he was like, look, we're going to have to kind of get more aggressive with this. He basically was saying that they're not going to quite back off. I think everybody was kind of hoping within traditional markets that they were going to be a lot more dovish with their remarks in regards to what they were going to do with interest rate hikes. And he came out and he was a lot more hawkish than what he had previously, or what they had previously thought he was going to be saying. Like, he did an about face on that. So, causing some concern, Elizabeth Warren came out and was giving him kind of a hard time about that. But basically, like, right now, currently, unemployment sits at 3.4%. And the Fed's projections is they wanted to hit 4.6% by the end of the year. So that equates to roughly 2 million people losing their jobs over the course of the year to hopefully, and I'm doing air quotes right now, tamper inflation, right?
Right. For the soft landing.
For the soft landing. So, you know, not that I'm the biggest fan of Elizabeth Warren anyways, but... you know, she was pushing on Powell to find out, you know, why are you trying to increase unemployment? You know, isn't it hard enough for the American people currently? And he said, well, working people better off if we just walk away from our jobs and inflation remains at 5 or 6%? You know, what do you want? Do you want the higher inflation, or would you rather have the inflation down and more unemployment?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Being Jerome Powell yesterday was probably not a very pleasant experience for his, because he was getting hit from both political parties.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're telling the world that, you know, we basically got to create a recession to fix things, nobody wants to hear that. And my problem with it is I don't think they have anywhere to go. I think that, you know, the Fed, the longer we watch the Fed, the more and more ridiculous they look, because it doesn't look like they know what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean, what levers do they actually have? And I mean, I think I always go back to, it seems like there's such a mixed message going on. Like, the Fed is trying to curtail spending, right?
Right.
I mean, that's really what they're trying. They're trying to tighten the money supply. Meanwhile, you've got the president who continues to throw money, essentially, at the Ukraine situation. And then right. Student loan forgiveness and every other little plan that he's trying to do, those are all high dollar programs that cause spending.
Yep. Well, I mean, you bring up an excellent point, Hans. The federal government is still borrowing more than ever, right? I mean, they're spending money like crazy, and so they have to print it, you know, borrow it. But money creation is still happening. And inflation is still going to happen. If our government was truly in the business, well, and the Federal Reserve is not really part of our government, but that's another point. But if our government was truly set on curbing inflation, they would basically either cut spending, raise taxes, or both to get a balanced budget. Yeah. But they're not anywhere close to that. Matter of fact, this is probably the biggest deficit ever.
Yeah.
This year.
Yeah, and that's the next thing that Powell's talking about with them is that he wants them to raise the debt ceiling.
Right. And, I mean, with how much they're spending, I mean, they're going to have to raise the debt ceiling here sooner than later. And they just raised it again in January.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, we're like a month and a half after that, and they're already talking about doing that again.
Yeah. United States is expected to default on its debt obligations as soon as this summer if Congress doesn't address the debt ceiling, but Republicans have demanded that any such move be accompanied by steep spending cuts. There's a little word of wisdom. At the end of the day, there's only one solution to this problem, and that is Congress, Powell said. Congress really needs to raise the debt ceiling. That's the only way out in a timely way that allows us to pay all of our bills. And, you know, and that's ridiculous again, because when you raise the debt ceiling, what are you doing? You're just printing more money, correct?
Correct.
To pay bills.
Or you're allowing the printing press to run longer than it should, or than it would have earlier, right?
Yeah.
Next. And just remember, something going back to Congress is this fiscal year's budget was passed by a lame duck Congress that was basically voted out, at least on the House side, right? And they still had quite a few defectors from the Republican Party that sided with the Democrats on in both the House and Senate that got it passed. But, you know, the budget this year is outrageous. I can't remember how many trillion dollars it was. Was it like 5 trillion or something insane?
I thought it was higher than that, but that could be very well possible. I know it was in the trillions, though.
Yeah, I mean, usually our government budget was like in the Obama years, it was insane at $3 trillion. And then in the Trump years, it was closer to $4 trillion. And now if it's 5 or 6, I mean, that wouldn't surprise me at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of going more into Powell's remarks here, too. You know, and we touched on this in the beginning, but inflation has slowed in recent months, measuring 6.4% in January after hitting a 40-year high of 9.1% in June. However, the battle is not yet won, and Powell said another Fed officials have cautioned that disinflation will be bumpy and there's a long way to go. The thing that they're watching closely is the core services index, which is excluding housing, and that shows little signs of disinflation. So I think that's kind of their big concern, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know. We talked about this in February, where we talked about how they reevaluated the weighted baskets for the CPI index.
Right. They reweighted the goods.
Yeah.
You know, and how it affects their quote unquote CPI figures.
And even when they did that, like CPI still came in higher than what was kind of expected to. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the solution is. Obviously we're going to continue to see rate hikes happen. I don't know how far they will go. Kind of like what you said in the beginning, and we had talked about kind of, I think, towards the end of last year, too, was that they want to see a recession.
Yep.
I mean, as to how bad that recession will be, if they still want to see another, 2 million people lose their jobs, part of it I get, but I mean, it's still a gamble, right? Like, so even if you lose 2 million jobs, what happens if that doesn't fix it?
Yep. And that's totally possible. What if it makes the situation worse?
It seems like it would.
You know, it's just one of those things. I think they're trapped. They have nowhere else to go. And we're just watching them fumble.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he made comments about the crypto space. We're watching what's happening in the crypto space. What we see is quite a lot of turmoil. We see fraud. We see lack of transparency. We see run risk. Lots of things like that. However, he did tamper that by saying, he doesn't want to stifle, like the regulations that get put into place do not want to stifle innovation within the space. And I think the important thing to take away from a lot of that stuff, too, is that this is all like this fraud and all this type of stuff. So much of that is coming from the FTX debacle.
Right.
And I still wonder how planned that was, especially considering we've got CBDCs coming in on the table. I want to say there was something out of the UK today on their CBDCs.
And Nigeria's implemented theirs now, correct?
I believe so. I mean, there's been a few that have been a lot of not good things, I think, in regards to CBDCs. But we had said that, I think, even a little while back. I want to say we had talked about that about a year ago, about the CBDCs. I think it was back in February during the trucker strike, how that this was going to be the year that CBDCs were really going to kind of step into place. So right now, this came out. Bank of England has promised that CBDCs will not replace fiat currency, but will work alongside it. The Bank of England will act according to what the public wants. I'm sure they're totally listening to the public on that one, right?
Yes, I'm pretty sure. They really care about what the public thinks.
I mean, and when I'm looking at this, like, this article here, it's like, oh, why are CBDCs so popular? It's like, are they, though? Like, if anybody's paying attention to what they actually are, I don't think they are popular. But maybe I'm wrong, man. Maybe people really, like, I think one of our biggest fears, and I know you've kind of shared this with me too, is that the mass public will see CBDCs as being the same as Bitcoin. And they'll be like, well, let's just use that one. Why would we want Bitcoin?
Yeah.
They don't understand the power of the CBDC and what it actually means and what it does, which terrifies me.
Which should terrify us all.
It should, but I don't know how, I don't know. People may not see it that way.
So, well, most people don't really see much of anything. They just kind of go along. And when I see, you know, you're mentioning that a lot of newspapers and stuff like that, we're talking about how, you know, CBDCs are popular now. It's like, the more I look at the news media and just like the corporations that own it, they are all about manufacturing consent. Mm-hmm. They're not really about capturing what's really going on. They're trying to, you know, it's all about the narrative and the direction that they're trying to twist it to their will.
Yeah, I completely agree. I want people to wake up and look at what they actually mean. I mean, having a federal bank or, you know, even if it's a Bank of England, whatever that may be, your regional banks, having them directly tied to your accounts, being able to cut you off at any time, you guys really need to think about that. I mean, I go back to when Trump got banned off Twitter and Facebook, right?
Yeah.
I mean, when they silenced the president, and he was the president, regardless of what you think on him in regards to politics, he was the president and they were able to silence him. They can, at that point, they can do the same damn thing to your account.
Oh, they can do a lot worse to you.
Yeah, I mean, and you would disappear. Like, who would care if Hans went off the map? Nobody. Right?
I would.
Well, I mean, you would, but I mean, at a higher level, like, I mean, nobody would care. Like, I mean, you would be silenced and no one would know except for those that were immediately close to you.
Right.
I mean, and I say that, I mean, obviously you'd still be living and breathing, but you would be basically silenced from the economy and the world at large because everything is so digital nowadays.
Yep.
You know, and that's, I don't know, it's one of the fears that I have for this AI rise that we have too at the same time. They're saying it's supposed to be unbiased, but they're obviously not. If you've looked at some of the reports that they've gotten from them.
Right.
I don't know. That's digressing. I'm going way off on a tangent at that point, but.
Hey, well, here's the thing. I have a question for you. Two questions, actually.
Yeah.
One, what do you think's happening to the housing market? Do you think we've hit the peak of it in, if they're going to keep doing this, keep jacking up the interest rates, will that basically finally send it greening back down?
God, you would think it's got to. I heard something today, which I thought was kind of interesting that I hadn't thought about before. And there was a loophole, and this is where it's speculation for me at this point. There was a loophole that Trump had instituted when he was president, and last year was the last year for the loophole. But it was allowing people or corporations to buy up as much real estate and stuff like that as they could and take the depreciation credit for it. So they were trying to put as much of that money to work as possible last year because it was last year to do it. Now, I mean, when I look at a 30-year fixed, currently we're looking at around 6.38% is the rate. I mean, that's significantly higher than what it was, you know, 2 years ago. So, yep. I mean, if they're going to increase the interest rate again, another 50 basis points, you're looking at probably close to like a 7.25, maybe a 7. Maybe you could still get 6.75 if you have really good credit. But I mean, you're looking at pretty high inflation or, you know, interest rates on your housing. The crazy thing is I'm still seeing crazy listings for expensive homes. Now, it would make sense that if this is happening the way we're seeing it happening, there's got to be a housing crunch that's got to happen. And maybe, you know, our area, because it always has been this way, we're going to be delayed in it. But everywhere else, like your major cities, you should see a housing crash start to take place.
Yep. Well, I think if they keep raising interest rates, and let's say, you know, the interest rates get up to 10%, I mean, I don't think there's no way that housing prices can be sustained at that kind of interest rate.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it will get up to 10%, but I mean, the way Jerome Powell's talking right now, who knows?
Yeah. If it's taken them basically to go from 0 to 5% in a year, it could be possible, like in another year, right? Where we would see maybe like 8-9% if it continues. But I would say, I mean, everything that I've heard from analysts and everything else is that once the federal interest rate in the United States gets above 5% for a prolonged period, and I don't know what that prolonged period is, I would assume like within financial terms, it's usually anything over 6 months, that spells doom for the global economy under current conditions.
Well, that's not a good sign because we're there, baby.
Yeah, we're right up against it. I mean, this hike that's going to happen in March, basically in a couple of weeks, it's going to put us at that 5%, maybe a little bit higher. At that point, and I think it would put us at 5.25% is what they'd be looking at as the base interest rate. At that point, if it goes prolonged for anything longer than 6 months, like I said, I think that's where you would start to see the big trouble. And if they continue to raise on top of that, it's going to take them a while to walk that back. So,
yeah,
that's where you could see some very scary stuff happen.
Okay, I have another question for you, Hans.
Huh.
What do you think with Bitcoin kind of fluctuating, what do you think Bitcoin's going to settle at in the short term?
Short term, next week? So the markets, the way that they've been reacting, this is what I've observed over the past, basically the past year and a half since we've seen, well, basically a year since we started seeing all these rate hikes happen, is that the market tends to react like knee-jerk reactions in the beginning before the, you know, and that's the thing, right? Like we saw a collapse down in price already happen based off Jerome Powell's words. We get into 2 weeks from now, we see another possible, you know, reduction of about, you know, 2-3% in Bitcoin price when I'm talking about the reduction. 2-3% Bitcoin price drop possibly, and then kind of back up to the same thing. We may ride within that 20,000 to 24,000 for a good chunk of this year if that's the case. I don't know if we'll actually see it below 20 within the next few weeks. If we do, I think it would be momentary. Just because the market tends to do that knee-jerk reaction, like I said, and then they tend to kind of be like, oh, well, we can still make money.
Yep. Well, you know, if we are at the top of the housing bubble and it starts going down, I think it's going to take everything down with it. So, I mean, I'm not saying we are there yet, but if it is, I think Bitcoin can go pretty low.
Well, I think it could too, but I think you're still, I mean, because you're still basing that off the, like, the interest rate being at about 10%. So I think we'd have about a year before we get there. Right?
I don't know, man. I mean, maybe the Federal Reserve does too good of a job softening up the economy. And I think that's more likely than anything, you know. We're either going to get high interest rates or the Federal Reserve is going to basically crush inflation. And but they're also going to crush the entire economy. So pick your poison.
Yep. No, and I see what you're saying about that. I don't know. I don't think that they're going to increase it that quickly, that fast. I mean, because right now, a 25 basis point increase above what they said with already 25 point basis point increase, so 0.5%, I do see that. I mean, obviously, that's going to hurt markets a little bit, but I think they'll get back to it shortly after. Now, if we get to where he's like, well, we're going to do a 75 basis point rise, you know, say in the summer, then we could be looking at something a little bit more drastic, you know, in regards to asset prices. But again, the housing market, it still hasn't rolled over in the way that I've already expected that it would. You know, people are still trying to buy homes with the current interest rates the way that they are. Maybe not quite as much, and maybe not quite as expensive as homes, but they're still doing it. Have you seen anything on the real estate market, like what it's showing, like if it's slowed down at all?
There's signs that it's cooling down. I mean, I've seen some videos of on YouTube where people, I think people just tend to get hyperbolic on YouTube because that's kind of what gets clicks. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there are some people pointing out that things are starting to slow down. So I don't know. But I mean, if you look at Zillow.com right now, things have not really gone down. So,
yeah, I mean, I'm still seeing like even around here, properties for like $1 million, million plus. So, yeah, medium home. But I mean, this is still looking at from January, the medium home price was up 1.3% to $359,000 in January. Home prices remained 8.1% higher than the previous year. Yeah, so I mean, that's the thing. Like, it's got to stop at some point. People aren't going to be able to afford housing unless it's just your Black Rocks and stuff like that are buying up everything.
Maybe that's the plan. Crash the housing prices and then BlackRock can step in.
Buy it cheap.
Or Blackstone or all of them. Vanguard, the whole group.
The whole kit and caboodle. But yeah, housing, like, it's a tough gamble. I mean, I would not want to buy a house right now. So, yeah, that's where I'm at with that. I mean, considering, you know, we're kind of fortunate in the sense that we locked in our mortgages cheap, and it's like, hey, we're locked, I mean, for right now. But any housing tumble that happens, yeah, I would not want to be buying a house, you know, at the top of the peak, basically.
Right.
So, anything else you want to bring up tonight?
I think that's it.
We'll have to get back together here shortly once we get CPI numbers and kind of see where we're at on that and see if it drops significantly or if we're looking at just a minute move. I would not be surprised at all if actually it went back up again.
Yeah, the markets are pretty crazy right now, so I agree.
So, anyways, thank you all for listening. Keep fighting the good fight. Keep hodling that Bitcoin and get it off the exchanges, because that's the next thing I think they're going to go after with this whole fiasco until they get regulations in place. So, cool. Thank you, guys.
Cool, man. Peace.